Welcome to the Student Housing Insight Podcast, where we're putting you in touch with the folks that bring student housing to life. This is your host, Wesley Dees, and this episode is sponsored by StudentHousingSites.com. If you're interested in finding land opportunities or listing land opportunities in college campuses across the U.S., please check out StudentHousingSites.com. So guys, last week I got a chance to go to the National Multi-Housing Council's 15th annual student housing conference that was in Tampa, Florida. Had a great time, got to meet a lot of you folks there. Thanks for coming up to me and telling me how much you appreciated the podcast. The conference this year had a lot of great content. This was the first year that they had two different tracks. One for more of the deal side, as well as another track that was handling more of the operations side. I got to sit down with two of the guys that are tasked with putting this conference together, Matthew Berger and David Barros. And we just sat down and chatted for a little bit about, you know, kind of where this conference has been, where it's going to, and a lot of the things that NMHC does. I know I got a lot of questions from folks that have listened to a couple of podcasts leading up to the conference, asking about, you know, what is it that NMHC does? How is this conference compared to other conferences? So I wanted to sit down with them for just a little bit and get some feedback from them on how this conference has evolved. This was the very first student housing conference, and I attended it 15 years ago, which is hard to believe that so much time has gone by. So anyway, I wanted to play that interview for you, so I will get into that now. Let's hit play. I'm here with Matthew Berger and Dave Borsos with NMHC. Guys, I appreciate you coming on the show today. You know, as I mentioned to you earlier, I was at the first NMHC Student Housing Conference, which was the first student housing conference there ever was. I think that was probably 10 or 15 years ago. How long ago?
So you actually have the right number. This is the 15th.
15th, okay.
And you're right. It started out very small.
Yeah. That first year there was probably 8 to 10 companies, maybe 40, 50 people, and we're all kind of looking at each other, afraid to give away any trade secrets or anything. So I don't think it really benefited anybody, honestly, but it wasn't because NMHC wasn't trying, that's for sure. But, you know, over that 15-year period of time, not only have you guys continued to do the conference on an annual basis, but now Interface and France Publications, as well as NAA, have started their own student housing conferences. But this one always seems, this is the one I like to go to the most. It's got the best content and really gives a great opportunity for folks to connect in a time of year that's really important. So just a little bit, you guys have been with NMHC for a year now. Is that correct? A little over a year?
So we took over the student housing part.
Gotcha.
For NMHC about a year ago, but I've been at NMHC for about 3 years running our capital markets government affairs practice. And
I've been at NMHC for over 7 years working on the tax side of the government affairs shop.
Gotcha. So if you will, a little bit, give me some background on how this conference has evolved over the past 15 years from your perspective.
Well, it's certainly a lot more than 8 companies and 40 or 50 people looking around the room. I do have a couple stats on just over the last 5 years. So 5 years ago, we were around 544, so 10 times more than what was at the first conference. And then this year will probably be over 850. So it's certainly continued to grow. As you pointed out, I think we kind of started this whole process.
Yeah.
As the industry, the professional, purpose-built student housing industry started to really kind of take off and become formed, we were at the leading edge of that. And it has spawned other conferences and others. You know, one of the things that we do that may be a little bit different than some of the others is that, you know, we are an advocate for the industry, both the apartment industry and the student housing industry. So federal regulations and legislation that impacts the industry is something that we actually spend a lot of time on that could have both a positive or a negative impact on the business operations of our members.
Yeah, so for example, take tax reform or an overhaul of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, we're on top of that for both conventional multifamily, but also really for student housing as well. Who would, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen to the student housing industry if the tax reform bill doesn't go just right.
Gotcha. So what you guys said you've been involved on the student housing side for the past year. What piqued your interest about that and wanted to be involved with the student housing side?
You know, I think for me, it was two things. One is that it's fun to be able to build out a practice and be responsible for something from soup to nuts. I mean, that's just sort of exciting. Secondly, kind of what we were just talking about, we saw an opportunity to serve student housing from a government affairs perspective, which had not been served as much as we thought it could and should be served. And we saw an opportunity that we felt we could really capitalize on and really benefit our members. And then last but not least, you know, we felt like there was a good way to improve the student housing conference. A lot of the conference had been geared towards financiers of our top owners, developers, and managers. But we sort of felt like the COOs also have a huge role to play and that we could add some really great programming for them. So this year, we actually have two tracks for the first time. Gotcha. Again, whereas this conference was very heavily focused toward the financiers, when Dave and I took over this side of the practice, we actually went around and we talked to several really key players in the market. And what we heard was, love your conference, think there's a lot of great stuff, but if you're a COO, you know, we'd like to see a little bit more programming reason to come. So this year we've built out a second track just for them. So we're going to be looking at stuff like, how do you respond to disasters, cybersecurity, and that kind of thing.
Perfect. Yeah, that's great. That's been, it's been one of the reasons I started this podcast, because there's a lot of great conferences that are out there that allows everybody to get together, but the content has been so geared towards the deal part of it that both inside and outside of the conference room, that from an operations guy like myself, it was kind of like, why spend the money? So thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah. we heard you, and we want to keep building on that.
Yeah absolutely.
So where do you think this will go over the next, well, let's talk a little bit about the vendors this year. I know it was probably a good 5, maybe 7 years after the conference started before there was actually an exhibit hall. Can you tell me a little bit about that this year?
Yeah, so I think there's always a demand there. So they, much like all other years, we continue to sell out and have a waiting list for our vendors. But we also want to pull people into the exhibit halls. And so we actually have several events that are set up in there, speakers, and there's a stage in there so that we have a reason for people to come in, and once in there they can interface with the vendors. So we've certainly have looked for ways to continue to drive foot traffic in there and make that more appealing, and I think the vendors and the exhibitors have appreciated that as well. And so that we're excited about that. It's not something we've done before. We've added something else called Commerce Corner, which we've used at our Operations and Technology Conference, which is a way for our exhibitors to set up a meeting with a group of our key members. It's a one-on-one. They're short little 9-minute pitches that they can make. It's over a lunch period. They actually have to pay to do that, the exhibitors do, but all the money that they pay, and again, it's a small toll fee, actually goes to a charity.
Gotcha.
Shelters for Shutters, which is started by somebody who looked to provide housing for homeless people, homeless mm-hmm. veterans, and oftentimes, upon giving them housing, train them to be somebody who's an on-site employee as well. So we think it's a great charity. It's a small fee that they pay to do it, but there's a great cause for doing it. It's not something that we retain any of that of the proceeds on doing that.
Very cool. Very cool. Obviously, student housing encompasses both on campus and off campus. Is there anything that the on campus crowd would benefit from being at this conference each year?
Absolutely. In fact, we've got a really great panel. It's a P3 panel this year, where they're going to look at a student housing property that's actually very close to here. And they're going to show exactly how that property was put together from soup to nuts from a variety of different perspectives, from the developer side, from the financier side. And that'll just be a really great panel coming up.
Good.
Yeah, so I think the other thing is for people who are responsible from an on-campus perspective, those who are employed by the university are looking at P3 as examples of how to build out or replace existing dorms. We have people coming from the firms who are, that's their business line. So if you kind of think about off-campus versus on-campus, on-campus has been more centrally concentrated in a fewer number of players. So it's, I think the REITs have certainly leveraged their capital advantage, but there are other firms who are now figuring that out, and every one of those firms are actually present here. So it is a mix of on and off campus, but it's also all the people that you would want to talk to from an owner side, a developer side, a manager side, as well as the how do you finance that, are all present at the conference. So that's an area that we would like to expand, to have additional representation from the universities to come to this conference as well, because we think there's a lot of meaningful content here, as well as the right people that they want to meet up with.
Right, certainly on the private side. Is there anything that NMHC would be able to do from, as far as from a governmental affairs kind of standpoint for that sector?
We don't necessarily represent the university itself. It's more direct in terms of our members and the fact that we support the people that they would do business with.
Exactly.
And the fact that if they're handcuffed or constrained by either access to capital or regulatory issues regarding how they build or any other type of legislation or regulatory issues that we may constrain their ability to deliver or work with.
Especially state level. I've seen several of those deals that have tried to, because it is for the ultimate benefit of the university, maybe even a land lease situation where the land will eventually revert back or the vice versa. And local state governments are still wanting to say that even though it may be a public university, that it's being used for a private use and therefore taxed.
Right.
Or they're subject to property taxes. Is that something that you think NMHC could?
So, we focus solely on the federal level issues. We recognize the fact that there are local issues. We're obviously keep track of, and we're certainly aware of local issues. To the degree that there are federal level interactions with it, then we take that into consideration.
Gotcha.
But working at a particular state or a municipality who may view that as you described in that situation, that's not something that that's not something that we work on.
Gotcha. So tell me a little bit about what you kind of see on the horizon for the next couple of years, for specifically for this conference, and then also for the student housing sector in and of itself. There's a lot of CMBS, huge wave of CMBS loans that are within those 10-year maturities that are going to be coming due. Not necessarily what type of impact do you see that playing on the industry, but how do you think this is going to affect what you guys do for the student housing sector specifically?
So give you a statistic. So the last year of all the transaction activity for sales within student housing only, one-third were brand new to the industry. And so I think that's something of critical importance. So if you look at the asset classes that are out there for people to invest in fixed income real estate, there's always wavering interest depending on, if I'm a retail investor right now, it's a little bit of a tough market. Do I want to go out and buy a mall? So the question is, if I'm an investor and want to deploy money in a real estate, what sectors do I see that may provide steady returns or good returns? And clearly student housing has done that, which is, I think, why you've seen all of the conferences, not only ours grow, but all of the conferences grow. I think you've seen more capital coming into the industry. We actually have a panel that's going to ask exactly the question is, during the last major downturn, student housing came through really strongly. And the reason why is because you had a lot of interest from people going back to college or staying in college. And then we need to ask the question is, we've built a lot since then. There's been a lot of either replacement of or brand new. Are we going to be resilient through the next downturn? And we have a panel that's going to explore that. And I think you'll have some interesting viewpoints on that, because there still are large numbers of students coming in, both domestically, internationally, and universities continue to see strong enrollments. I do think there's some potential challenges as it relates to can international students still come with the same level of enrollment as they have in the past, and that would be a concern. But they make up, as a percentage of the overall enrollment, they're not the majority of the students, but clearly they certainly fill a gap.
Yes, and so did.
To the degree that would draft may have some challenges. But right now, I think the industry outlook for the next 5 years is still pretty strong. I think it's not. I think there may be some overbuilding in some universities, but I think there's others out there that have the capacity to replace what they've had and continue to do what they our industry has started to do.
Gotcha.
But just getting to another part of your question, if I might, the other thing we really do want to build out is a good research practice. We believe that there's a lot of good research that could be done to support this industry and to uncover a lot of what's really not known. So, for example, exactly how big the industry is and what its footprint is, we really like to get some research underway that would really quantify that. In addition to looking at risk-adjusted rates of return for student housing relative to other industries, and really help drive the industry and help continue to put it on the map.
That would be fantastic. Talk to me just really quick about your relationship with the agencies, Freddie and Fannie. We talk about other parts of D.C. that you guys are involved with, but agency-wise, do you guys do anything?
Yeah, so we obviously, if you kind of look at capital sources for our members, and this is both student housing as well as multifamily, as an organization, our objective is to make sure that the capital that our owners and developers need to either build or to operate or to own or to refinance or to purchase is available. And so who it comes from, we don't really care from that perspective. And so we focus on all the available capital sources out there. Among them is obviously a significant player for both multifamily and student housing are the GSEs. And the conservatorship, which continues, about to start our 10th year this month, is a major concern for a lot of people in the industry. Right now, it operates and has operated and went through the downturn as it operated and has operated very well. Losses have been low. They've provided access to capital through all areas of the country. Any reform that would take place, as we deal with members of Congress, is that wasn't broken. And as you go through reform, let's not change that, because it would be to the detriment of the capital markets for those who want to access the GSE. So we have an ongoing engagement and a frequent engagement with members of Congress, the administration, as well as FHFA, who is the regulator, and obviously we have relationships directly with the GSEs as well. So we're very plugged in kind of conveying the principles that we would feel are important. I think that the messages around those have resonated with members of Congress, going from 4 or 5 years ago when there was much more of a push to say you got to get rid of these guys and we need to wind them down. And now I think there's a little bit more of a we need to figure this out, and what they did before from the multifamily perspective, we need to make sure we can preserve that because it's important from affordability perspective on the multifamily side, from access to capital for student housing. So it's something that we spend a lot of time on at NMHC because we know that that's an important capital source for our members.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I asked for 10 to 15 minutes, and you've given me 20, so I appreciate it. Anything else that you would like to say to our listeners, and as far as becoming a member or being involved with NMHC, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. Please call us, send us an email. Love to hear from you and figure out how to meet your needs and learn more about what you're doing and how we can help serve your business, because that's why we're here, to help serve the industry and make sure that your needs are taken care of, both in the policy world, but also just as owners, developers, and managers writ large, to make sure the industry thrives.
Great. And the website, nmhc.org. Any other contact information that would be important for them?
You can actually find us on the website.
On the website.
All of our phone numbers as well as emails are directly on the website.
And they're all direct dial, so we look forward to hearing from you.
Great. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Well, guys, that's it. It's a short podcast this week, but I wanted to make sure that we spend a little bit of time recapping what happened there at or what was set to happen there at NMHC. Again, it was a great conference. Thanks to all the guys for all the staff at NMHC who have put this on year after year, especially for everything that they did this year leading up to it. Tampa dealt with a lot of issues from the hurricanes, and it was real kind of touch and go leading up to even determine if we were going to have a conference or not this year. So thanks for all the communication that those guys gave during that process leading up, and for putting on a great conference. So anyway, guys, I appreciate it. I'll check you out next week.